Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison, a contributor at NinerNoise.com, and here with me is fellow contributor Mr. Akshaz Devadula. Akshaz, I think this is a little sooner than we might have anticipated that we were going to follow up our last episode. I think if we were going to do these episodes so quickly back to back at this point of the season, we would have hoped for some good news, but we'll get more into that in just a minute. First of all, how are you doing? Sorry, I neglected my usual question, so just throwing you off everywhere right off the top.
You know, Robert, I'm doing okay, I would say. We just mentioned, of course, that in the grand scheme of things, it's just football. And like I said for our last episode, for all of our longtime listeners, this is the optimism season. Everything's up. We're excited. This is the year the Niners win the Super Bowl. So not a great start to the season of optimism, but we'll power through.
Yeah, not a great start at all. So we'll bury the lead here a little bit. So obviously the Niners play their first preseason game of this the offseason here this weekend. Or yeah, that's right. They head to Tennessee, I believe on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, to take on the Titans. I don't anticipate that there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a very exciting game in terms of like players that you know that you're going to that you want to see play being out there. Like, I can't imagine that Brock Purdy was going to play very much. I can't imagine that Debo Samuel, George Kittle, those types of players, all your starters are going to play. But we do know for sure that two key cogs in this 49ers offense are not going to play. Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan said today, calf strain. They're going to hold him out throughout the entirety of the preseason. I don't know. That's what I would have done with him anyway. So I'm not like freaking out yet, but still you would rather be with a player like that, especially someone who, when he came to San Francisco, the big thing was, yeah, he's great, but he can't stay healthy. He's managed to stay pretty healthy during his time in San Francisco so far. And so you would like the decision to not play him during the preseason to be solely like, he's our best, you know, one of our best offensive players. We just don't need to play him, as opposed to he's hurt, we can't play him. So McCaffrey out with a calf strain. And then on top of that, Ricky Pearsall apparently back on the shelf. I don't know that I saw what the injury was. Did you happen to catch what that was?
I didn't know.
So I'll have to look into that and see, but hopefully it's not the hamstring issue that he was having before. But that's not ideal either, because even though he's a rookie and a top pick, and it's probably someone that you probably want to be very careful with during the preseason. It's, I think, more important because he is a rookie that those these preseason games can be helpful, at least, you know, snaps here and there to kind of help him. And if he's already missing the entire first one when there's only three, that is certainly something to be concerned about, especially in light of what we're going to spend most of the podcast talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, so to continue to kind of bury the lead a little bit, yeah, Ricky Pearsall's importance is really jumping up. And the worst part is you're seeing a lot of really good signs out of training camp. It would be one thing if, you know, he's kind of struggling a little bit and you're like, okay, this isn't great, but it's not like the Niners really could use him right now. But he looks like he could really challenge for some key rotational minutes at wide receiver. And for him to just knock it on the field, it hurts, especially because him being injured, that's really the only way that this draft pick completely falls apart so early on.
Right.
The Niners definitely need numbers at receiver now.
Yeah, it's a shoulder injury, apparently. It's an aggravation of something that he dealt with over the spring. Shanahan called it a precautionary move to pull him from practice. Unclear if he might miss more time or be held out of the preseason opener later this week. So not definitely missing the game, but my guess is that if it's precautionary, that they're probably going to hold him out at least through this week. And I imagine they wouldn't throw him out there against the Titans on Saturday, especially with all the travel and stuff that comes with that. So not ideal, like you said.
Yeah, not ideal at all. I mean, we'll see. I think there's some good signs from the other receivers in camp as it stands. So maybe not the worst thing in the world, but the injury bug is definitely not what you want to have heading into preseason one.
Sure. I mean, I guess if you're going to have it, it's better to have it before the regular season starts and then not have that injury bug, you know, like follow you throughout the season. And, you know, you just assume prefer not have any injuries throughout at any point in the season, but I don't know. All right. One more slight bury of the lead. Trent Williams still not in camp. I don't think we've heard anything about it. I don't know. I don't really know what to make of this. I mean, other than the fact that obviously he wants more guaranteed money. But I don't know. I feel like if it were just to give me more guaranteed money, this would be a very easy solution, right? It's like take whatever's left on his contract, give it to him, like hand it to him in a check, whatever, because that doesn't count against the salary cap. Doesn't change anything as far as your salary cap numbers are concerned. So I gotta feel like it's more complicated than that, because if it was just that, then it would be done. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think two things. I think the Ayuk negotiation is causing things to be a little all over the place, because now you're trying to juggle two large contracts. And I think the biggest thing is, well, I agree with you that I'm sure Trent also wants a raise to like get back into the top three, most likely reset the left tackle market, which, you know, I'll always flip-flop on how I feel about holdouts and hold-ins when players have, like, negotiated contracts and they just wanted a raise up top their contract. But one thing we can say for sure is Trent Williams should not be the, like, fifth or sixth whatever tackle paid in the NFL, whatever number he's at right now. He's the best offensive linesman in the NFL. So I can see why he wants more money. The other thing is, the guaranteed money, I feel like, throws a wrench into planning out the inevitable Brock Purdy extension. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of moving cap parts, so I can understand why it's taking a while, but I really do think it's the first part, which is the Niners need to resolve everything with Brandon Ayuk, and then the entire picture becomes a lot clearer.
Yeah. Tristan Wirfs, by the way, who just signed a new contract to stay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for an additional 5 years, $140.6 million, with an average annual salary of just hair over $28 million. So that's the number that you're looking at in terms of what the 49ers are going to be looking for. Trent Williams' deal, one moment, we'll pay him. Why can't I find the number here? Oh, this is bothering me. Trent Williams' deal. What's the number off the top of my head? This is good radio stuff right here. I don't know. Trent Williams' deal is a couple million less than that, and that's really the number that he's trying to get to. Is to make sure that that's where you can get to. Oh, here we go. He is at 23, just a hair over 23 million average annual salary. So it's a pretty big bump. In terms of total number, their contracts are pretty similar. Trent's was 6 years for 138. So he's really not terribly too far behind in terms of total money. It's just like his was spread out over a lot longer period than an extra year period. So that's kind of where the difference is, I think, at this point. But yeah, I think that's what they got to do. But anyway, I think you're right that this is just a matter of there's too many eggs up in the air for Parag Marate and John Lynch and the rest of the crew to be trying to work through. If this were like a smaller salary and then Brandon Ayuk, maybe they could focus on like the main guys focus on the big one. And they have a couple of, you know, minions to work on the lesser deal, but this is two major cogs in the offense and they just need to figure this out. So with that said, let's go ahead and get into the real reason that we're all here, unfortunately, and that is that a report came out from NBC Sports Bay Area's Matt Maiocco yesterday, roughly 10 hour or, yeah, a little yet yeah, yeah, last yesterday evening time frame, and the report said that the 49ers have negotiated what he called framework of trades that would send Brandon Ayuk to one of either the Cleveland Browns or the New England Patriots. That was according to a source that Maiocco worked with on his end. Essentially, what this means is that they've also granted Brandon Ayuk the opportunity alongside his representatives to speak to either both of these teams and work out what a contract would look like. I don't think they can actually have a conversation and say, hey, this is what we would offer you. Specifically, I'm sure there's some weird finagling that they could do to where they can kind of work out the framework of a contract extension, because I think it's pretty clear that anywhere that Ayuk would want to go, the team would have to give him the extension that he's looking for. So it's kind of an interesting situation. You know, he's technically still in a rookie deal, so he doesn't really have any say. But I guess the 49ers are kind of working in good faith to a certain extent. I don't know that you can 100% call this a good faith negotiation of straight down the line. But this really does, I don't know, this shows a lot of different interesting things about the about where the negotiations have gone, in terms of like who has the upper hand here, who is going to make the decisions. But I guess let's start with this in a sort of general sense. Akshaz, were you surprised that it was this specific of a report in terms of like, hey, there are teams and there are like choices and they're kind of leaving it to Brandon Ayuk in terms of like, hey, do you want to go play for one of these teams?
I think the phrasing of it gives more agency to Ayuk. Mm-hmm. Then I actually do think is there. I think this is generally always the case, which is that the Niners, like, the reality is that these deals are contingent on Brandon Ayuk signing an extension. If he won't sign an extension, there's no reason the Patriots or the Browns would make a trade. I think the phrasing makes it seem like, oh, he's basically dictating where he goes and he has complete control over here. I mean, generally, I thought the report was surprising because given how late in the season we are now, I was like, there's no way the Niners would consider trading Ayuk anymore. This is kind of a you deal with it and you go with it situation. But I was surprised by that. I understand exactly where this negotiation has gone. And I think we've talked about the exact moment where the Niners and Ayuk splintered. And it was right when Amon-Ra St. Brown got roughly $30 million a year. That was the moment where the Niners were like, that's ridiculous. I'm not paying that much. And Ayuk was like, someone will. And everyone else has decided to treat that as a benchmark, except the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised. I'm disappointed. But
yeah,
it makes sense given where both parties have been kind of like going towards.
Right. The initial report did go on to say that the Commanders, who were initially thought of mostly because Ayuk mentioned them as a team that he would want to play for if he wasn't going to play for the 49ers. Most of that having to do, I think, with his longstanding relationship with Jaden Daniels, who's the quarterback, at least for now, in Washington. And so they kind of removed themselves from the conversation, according to Mayoko's report. I imagine mostly because the cost was too high for them. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers still seem to be kind of like on the outskirts of it. They seem to be a team that have been mentioned a lot throughout the entirety of this ordeal throughout the offseason. Like, hey, they should make a trade. The problem being is that the one thing that is noted also in the report is that both the Patriots and the Browns, that one of the things that the 49ers would be looking to acquire in the trade of Ayuk to one of these organizations is that they would want a veteran wide receiver who can like step in immediately and be a guy who will attempt to replicate some of what Ayuk can do. Now, of course, obviously they're not going to trade Ayuk for a guy who's of his equal value or anything like that. But somebody who can be a veteran guy who can step in and be a good player for this team that theoretically they, if all kind of things kind of break well, maybe they're not going to break even. Maybe they're still just a little bit worse offensively because Brandon Ayuk's a good receiver and they're not going to get the same guy in return. But it is interesting that even though the Steelers probably are in a really good position to be able to pay him, they just frankly don't have the roster right now to be able to support, hey, we want your wide receiver. Here's another one of our receivers that is pretty decent. And similar, I would say with the Commanders, that their wide receiver room outside of Terry McLaurin is like basically non-existent, and it probably wouldn't make any sense for them to turn around and ship McLaurin over for Ayuk, and because it's basically just in that case, I think it's very like a one-to-one kind of trade. So the two names that were tossed out, and this is mostly speculative, obviously because we don't know. So Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com mentioned to Mayoko that she thought that Amari Cooper would be a return piece from the Browns trade, and that from the Patriots' perspective, and I think this is just an expectation, just like a potential names that Kendrick Bourne, who was a 49er several years ago and then went to New England, would be the return in that offer. Now, I did just see, I was flipping through something while you were talking a second ago, is that Mayoko has actually come out with another piece of information about 20 minutes ago that said that the Patriots are basically have an agreement, that the aforementioned agreement in place with the 49ers, and that they have a pretty good offer on the table for Ayuk, but I don't think Brandon wants to go to New England given the current situation there. So some of this really comes down to, it's like the money versus the situation, and like, does making that $30 million but having to go play for a team that's in the doldrums like the New England Patriots are, like, is that valuable to Brandon Ayuk? And that seems to be kind of like the scenario that's on the table right now.
I agree, but I think the problem is that we all know 49ers contracts, with the exception of Nick Bosa, who's just like so good that the Niners eventually were like, okay, there's nothing we can do. Just take our money, please, and play for us again.
Right.
The Niners are really, really aggressive with how they structure contracts, and they do not give out guaranteed money. That's the place they refuse to budge on the most. So I feel like it becomes a difficult negotiation because not only do we have the like general issue with anytime the 49ers negotiate a contract, they drive a hard bargain and they don't budge on guaranteed money, which makes every negotiation difficult. Even when you're not dealing with like market parameters that either side thinks is out of whack. But then on top of that, you get the wide receiver market jumped up by $4 million this year, AAV. And the Niners are like, that's ridiculous. Why on earth would that makes no sense? That doesn't fit our cap. And every other team's like, okay, sucks for you, I guess. The rest of us will just pay our wide receivers more. I think the difference is so much for Ayuk that I would be like, it would be such a major pay cut, I think, for him to take the 26, 27 less guaranteed money that the Niners are probably offering than the 29, 30, maybe even 31 that like the Patriots would or the Browns would offer. That's a lot of money for a receiver who might get one more contract ever, like big money contract in his career. I think. Right. That's a tough deal. I don't know, Robert. I think you asked me to make that choice. I might be going to New England.
Maybe. Well, I mean, apparently he said he doesn't want to go. So the news was is that the Patriots offer was north of $30 million, whatever that means. So maybe it's just slightly above where Amon-Ra St. Brown was, you know, kind of tucked underneath where they expect CeeDee Lamb to be, and definitely south of where Justin Jefferson is. But that said, they were a really bad football team last year, and they're probably going to be starting a rookie quarterback this season with a rookie head coach. So that's the thing, is that you kind of wonder, and this is maybe a cynical way of looking at it, is if the Niners are putting out there the information where they kind of make it really difficult. And to a certain extent, I understand this, right? It's like they want to make sure because they kind of messed up. Like if they were going to get rid of him, they should have got. We talked about this. We've talked about this all spring and summer long. If they were going to trade him, they should have traded him before the draft, because at least they could have gotten. Because if they were going to trade him, the Patriots, you know, before the draft, they could have gotten the first round pick out of that thing or whatever, or a big old package of pick of you know, second, third rounds, whatever. And that would have been the time to do it. And now the situation is such that they have to get a certain type of return, one that includes someone who can kind of replace him, at least on the roster, in terms of like position. It's like they can't go out and get, which is why it might have made sense for them to trade him to Pittsburgh before the draft started. But now they can't be in the conversation because they don't have anybody on their team that even remotely is interesting as a player. And so it kind of seems like the Niners, and maybe this makes sense again, given the situation, they're saying, look, we're willing to do these two deals. If one of these two teams is interesting to you and they are willing to offer you the contract that you want, we'll make it happen. So there is a small amount of good faith kind of going into it, even though the contract situation has clearly gotten sticky. But it also is kind of a desperation move from the team, right? It's like, man, we would like to keep you around, but also we maybe messed this up and didn't calculate this correctly.
Oh, they totally messed it up. I mean, I think we've both written articles and talked about how they've completely misgauged this contract extension. And I find it so ridiculous that Brandon Ayuk is the player that they eventually decided, like, no, this is how we build our football team. Mm. This is where we draw the line when it comes to like contract values. Given that he's probably the best example of a 49ers wide receiver in this system that could possibly be. Like, with the exception of if you've got Davante Adams or Justin Jefferson to get in here and they turned out to be monster blockers, I don't think anyone fits what the 49ers want to do on offense better than Brandon Ayuk in the entire NFL. Now, they're better receivers, and you can shape your offense around them. But Shanahan doesn't have to change anything because Ayuk's in the game. It's just do the thing I want you to do, and you do it super well. Oh, I wonder why. It's because he's been here for 4 years. I mean, I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it's from, but they said the whole reason you draft a first-round wide receiver is that you hope they become good enough to where you have to pay them what they're worth. If you're not going to pay them, then, like, at a certain point, what was the point of drafting them? Unless you think you can replicate that super quickly, which is fine if you're, like, running on the margin and you're resetting. But the 49ers aren't resetting this year. This is the year. If they don't win it this year, then they reset everything, and we spend a couple of years as they retool around Brock Purdy making $60 million a year or something more. I mean, the idea that, like, this is where they've decided to draw the line with the Brandon Ayuk negotiations, I think is absurd. And I think, do I agree with them that the wide receiver market has become oversaturated? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of those contracts are ridiculous, and they're definitely not going to age well. But that's the cost of doing business.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The reality is the Chiefs beat the 49ers by the thinnest of margins. And one of the big reasons why was that their corners were just better in man coverage than the 49ers receivers were getting out of it. And out of the two receivers the 49ers played primarily in that game, three if you card Juwan Jennings, but the two big money ones, the one on the roster right now who's going to be here this year most likely is not the one who can beat man. That's Brandon Ayuk. He's the definition of a number one receiver. And the 49ers like this whole, you know, we'll build football uniquely and our team will be set up in different ways and we can win in all sorts of different methods. But show me a team without a number one receiver that wins Super Bowls, and I'll show you a team that has Patrick Mahomes as quarterback or like a defense more elite than anything the 49ers have put up yet this year. Yep. Put up under Kyle Shanahan.
True. Yeah, for sure. I don't like it. I don't get the impression that it's like, oh, Brandon Ayuk, you're the guy that we're digging our heels in on. I think it's just sort of, it's a timing thing. If this had been reversed, like Debo and Brandon Ayuk, then I feel like Debo would also be getting the same treatment. Like it's a matter of the fact that this is the fifth or sixth or whatever year in a row that they've had to sign a long-term extension, big money extension with somebody. And it's unfortunate because we just kind of knew this eventually it was going to get to the point where they were going to have to make this decision. And it's a real bummer that it looks like it's probably going to be at the expense of, you know, a really good player who can really help them next year. And that's really the thing. I think, as you said at the end of the last podcast, like this feels like the most important season, in terms of they're still in a good position because they have a quarterback on a rookie contract and they can still afford all these other deals and yada yada yada. And starting next year, they're going to have to start thinking about, well, how are we going to pay this quarterback, not a rookie deal anymore. Now, granted, because of the way they generally structure these extensions, Brock Purdy is not going to be terribly expensive in 2025, because that's usually the way that they do that. It's a smaller cap hit the first year of the extension, and then that starts to rise. But eventually, if you're going to get him to that $60 million annual average value, that means that the last several years of that contract are going to be stupid, right? Because if you only pay him, I don't know, ballpark, I'm just ballparking, if you only pay him $10 million in the first year of the deal, just as a nice round number, then I'm not great at math, but that means that you're going to have to pay him way more than $60 million at some point later in the contract, right? One of those years is going to be a $75 million cap hit, because that's how averages work, more or less, right? So those numbers are going to start to change, and so I get it, but it also, it sucks that it feels like right now, coming off a Super Bowl that, as you noted, they lost at the death, but also just kind of by the thinnest margins, and you feel like with just a little bit of tweaking in that same matchup, they'd have a real good chance of winning it this time around. But it's just, yeah, I don't know what. Do we still feel like, because I don't know, I feel like essentially it's down to one team. It's like he either wants to go to Cleveland or nothing at this point. I mean, if this whole Patriots thing is, which it seems to be, it's coming, like there's several different, I saw Adam Schefter also putting stuff up about it as we were talking. So it's coming from multiple places now. that it's like Cleveland or bust for Ayuk. And, you know, they had a pretty good year last year, but their quarterback situation is kind of murky at best, even with all that money that they're paying Deshaun Watson, which is still funny to me. They had a pretty good season last year in spite of, I think, what did I see yesterday? They played five different quarterbacks in 2023. He would make them better, but is that a place that he wants to go is another question altogether. We've talked about this throughout the offseason. What's the most likely outcome here at this point, given where the lines have been drawn, even though it's sad?
It feels like he's either a Steeler or he's a 49er, and I'm willing to bet he's a Niner. Now, I don't know if that means he plays. I don't know what's going to happen. But like we said earlier, there's a limit to this holdout, which is going to be the fact that if he doesn't play, I think, six games, his contract tolls. So he's still under contract. He can't get out of this by not playing. So, and the 49ers obviously have the fifth-year option, and they have 2 years of the tag. So there's four more years of Brandon Ayuk if the Niners want to go that route. Obviously, they would prefer to get a contract extension, but I think it depends who's going to blink first. Mm. Are the Niners going to blink on Ayuk kind of pressing this demand, or is Ayuk going to be like, they're not letting me go, there's nothing more I can do? Because the reality is there's nothing more he can do. This is all of Brandon Ayuk's chips on the table. He's holding in. He's requested a trade. He's refusing to sign the contract extension the 49ers are giving him. And he's dictating what team he wants to go to by which contract he's willing to sign, which influences what the 49ers will get in return. I think it would be very surprising to me if the 49ers blinked in this. I think it's super uncomfortable, but it's not like Ayuk's current contract is so ridiculously like bloated that it's like, okay, we got to get him off the books. You can have Brandon Ayuk on the roster right now, even if like he's going through this. Apparently he's attentive and responsive in team meetings. He's just not on the practice field. He's not really being a distraction to the team. He's being a nuisance to the front office, which is a different story entirely. So I'm 50-50 on it, but if you had to ask me, like, cards on the table, who does Brandon Ayuk play for this year? I'm going to say the 49ers.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I definitely agree with that, only because I think it's pretty clear. Like I said, the two teams presented as, hey, we have these trades worked out, are both like not great options, right? New England is in a bad state after the departure of Tom Brady several years ago, and then Bill Belichick this season. So they're just restarting, and I also don't know why it makes sense for them to try to be signing a massive deal to a receiver at this point in their growth situation anyway. And as we said, it appears that they have been that Brandon Ayuk told them thanks but no thanks. So he's clearly looking for I'm going to get the top dollar I can, because if he was going to get the top dollar he can, it seems pretty clear that the New England Patriots are willing to offer him the most money that he can get. But he doesn't want to go there. All right. All cool. Right. And if he doesn't want to go to the Browns, then it seems like that's the only other option that the 49ers are willing to entertain, because, as I said before, the Steelers don't have as much to offer. And so I sincerely hope that what the situation is not going to turn into is Ayuk is going to push and push and push to try to get himself to Pittsburgh, and the 49ers are finally just going to get worn down and send him to Pittsburgh for something less than they could have gotten back in April, or worse, something that doesn't help them at all in 2024, which is essentially what the Pittsburgh Steelers have to offer. And so I think with that in mind, I don't think they're going to do that, because they have not shown if anything, they've shown themselves to be very stubborn and very like, this is what we think is the right thing to do. And they tend to not cave in on those kinds of things. And so I think I'm right there with you that he'll play for the 49ers, or he can try and see if sitting out a year helps him out. But this is going to put him in the same situation next year, where again, in that case, he will definitely not be priority number one next offseason if all goes generally well for the 49ers in 2024.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's one bad outcome in this situation, and that's the 49ers kind of like being like, okay, we can't do anything, and trading Ayuk for pennies on the dollar to whatever team he wants. I guess the Steelers or somewhere else. I don't think – I agree with you. I don't think the Niners will do that. I think that the headache of it all is – it's definitely getting to them, because otherwise they wouldn't even, like, deal with the Browns and Patriots offers. So clearly they want a resolution. But one thing the Niners are ridiculously good at is not budging, as he said, from what they believe is fair value. So I don't know. I think – you tell me any other team is in this situation. They either pay the guy, which I still think the Niners should do, for being honest, is I think this is a bunch of like posturing when the market is the market and Ayuk is as good as he is. You pay the guy, you figure it out later. But other teams, I would also see them being like, okay, we got to get out of him. But the 49ers are so stubborn and like, not, I'm trying to find the right word that isn't like a curse word to describe what they're like. But let's just say they don't care about how, what people think, and they do whatever they want. I mean, this is the same team that traded 3 first-round picks for a quarterback, proceeded to rotate him in for the first like 4 games of a season, then didn't play him, then gave him the starting spot, then what's it called? Then the next offseason traded him away because a guy they signed off the street beat him out for the backup position. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the optics of anything.
Nope.
So I don't see a world where the cap space Brandon Ayuk offers is like valuable enough to make a trade. And I don't see a world where Ayuk's preferred destinations, other than the Commanders trading Terry McLaurin, which would probably be an upgrade for the 49ers. At the very least, it's a lateral move, I think, especially when you think about the contract certainty that comes with McLaurin's current deal. Other than that, I mean, the Steelers would have to give what? If we're thinking about these same sets of logic, George Pickens? Probably. Yeah. That's the only guy who like gets the tape, starts the conversation. I mean,
And even that is like,
yeah. I mean, it's Pickens.
He's not an actual like, yeah, he'll be good. Like maybe he'll be good.
Yep. Like Pickens in a first, Pickens in a second, Pickens in another. Who knows? I mean, you get to a point where no team is going to want to do that trade at this point in the season. But the Niners aren't going to trade Ayuk unless they get something like that. I don't like the logic of being like, if we get a second round pick and like Amari Cooper, then we're okay with trading Ayuk. I think the 49ers offense is such that like if receivers don't like get into this, like I got to block and I got to run these precise routes every single time, the Niners are like, it's not going to be a good fit.
Right.
But that makes sense to me. But that means if you're not trading a wide receiver to the 49ers, they're not going to accept that deal. Mm-hmm. So you're basically trying to swap Ayuk in for another player. And that's what the Niners are trying to do, plus get draft capital in. I don't think the Steelers match up. So
No.
We'll see.
Yeah. And I think, like, frankly, I think the only reason that the Patriots made any sense is because Kendrick Bourne. Like, at least they go, hey, we know that guy, right? Because he's
that second round pick would have been like 33, 35,
yeah.
Super high, too.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't look at Kendrick Bourne and go, oh, yeah, he's going to come in and kind of replace what I, like, he's not going to be anywhere near what Ayuk was doing, has done. At least Amari Cooper, you can kind of go, okay, yeah, he's older and he's really essentially a 1 year rental player, but his statistically, he was in range in terms of what Ayuk did last year. And if you can get him to buy into to what needs to be done, then he could be a pretty useful player for one season. But that to me is a very short-sighted look. You know, that's the, we have to win this championship in 2024 or we're not going to win one. Whereas keeping Brandon Ayuk is more of a, hey, maybe we can keep this window open like a lot longer, as opposed to that. That to me is the ultimate thing. It's just like, if you traded Brandon Ayuk for Amari Cooper, would I be like, to me, like Amari Cooper's a good player, but again, he's 30 years old. He just turned 30 years old a couple of months ago. Useful player. Would he be good in the offense? I think probably, yeah. But again, he's not going to be around in 2025. Like, you know that for sure. The way that his contract is set up, he's pretty much done. Like, he'll pretty much be a free agent after next year or after this season. So would I hate it in a vacuum? No. But when you think about, you're giving up a very good, much younger player who you could sign for an extension and keep him around for the next 4 years, versus some guy who might be good in your offense versus someone that you know will be good in your offense and can be here for three additional years after that. To me, that's just, it's a no-brainer.
I agree. They're trying to thread the needle here, and I feel like this is the wrong player where you're trying to go both ways. Like, we talked about this, I think, in the last episode. If you imagine the 49ers and the Brock Purdy is now your guy making a ton of money and you're trying to make sure that, like, he can carry this team, what you want is you'll probably want Brock Purdy, you want Christian McCaffrey, and then you'll want a receiver. And Brandon Ayuk is the perfect guy, the perfect age, already has the rapport with Purdy. Like, this seems so obvious to me. I don't get it. I mean, this is probably the first time the 49ers have done a contract extension under Lynch and Shanahan that I've been like, I don't know what they're doing. The Bosa stuff I kind of got because there was no cap on what he wanted, so that's a little up in the air. But here it's like, everyone knows what he's trying to get. Everyone knows what the market says he should get. Either you give it to him or you don't. Or, like, you get close. I don't even think they're close right now.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you wonder if part of this is, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of games being played in all of this. I know without a doubt. Like I said, these are the only two trade offers that we got that we think are any good. That's obviously, there's a gamesmanship going on there. And it's just a matter of what the pushback is going to be again, like I said. But it would be interesting to see if Ayuk looks at this and goes, okay, well, the situation, maybe if we can get a little bit closer, because I don't know, maybe he's like, I want 30, but would I take 28 to stay in a good situation? I don't know. We're not privy to any of this information. We're just responding, man.
If the Niners, if that's true, if that's where we're at, and the Niners are at 26 and Ayuk's at 30, and he's like, look, you give me 28, and I'll stay, and the Niners don't do that, I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like, it's pedantic. It's no optimism. It's forward looking in a way that I think poorly prioritizes the future for this team and the present. Because look, we think about like teams that define times and define decades and define moments in the NFL. You only need one. I guarantee you, if the 49ers win one Super Bowl, they spend the next 2 years like scraping it in as a wild card team, most people would accept that over this like attempt at trying to be a Super Bowl contender now and 3 years in the future, but like capping yourself where you can't actually get that far. But I don't know.
Yeah, this is certainly surprising that it is taken, that this is the turn that this particular situation has taken. If you had gone back into the, if you went back into the past before all these contract situations worked out, yeah, you know, like before, what was it, the George Kittle one was first, right? So before the Kittle negotiation, you said we got George Kittle, we got Debo Samuel, we got Fred Warner, we got Nick Bosa, we got Brandon Ayuk. All five are going to be up for contracts in the next 5 years. Which one do you think is going to be the most difficult and most confrontational? I'm not sure that I would have picked the Ayuk one out of the hat there. Just because, you know, but who knows? I mean, there's obviously all kinds of different things going on here. Like we said before, it seems like it, for all intents and purposes, it does seem like things were pretty much moving in the direction of the extension getting done, and then the Lions messed everything up by giving Amon-Ra St. Brown $30 million a year, and that was the turning point. And you kind of wonder, like, if they'd been just a little faster, if they were like, all right, cool, we got this wrapped up at 27 or whatever the number was, and they got that, and they just gotten, you know, pen to paper, you know, a little bit faster. Maybe I could have been like, oh man, left some money on the table, but he would he have cared that much at that point? Who knows? It certainly would have been less problematic, and I don't know. So darn you, Lions, again, for ruining everything.
Oh man,
I don't know. All right, well, this has been a much less fun episode compared to the last one. We were feeling really good last time, and so the inevitable fall it just came many months before we anticipated. So Akshaz, anything to close us out on? I know this is a difficult task given the circumstances, but I will leave it to you.
Well, the last team in recent memory that came to a contract impasse with their wide receiver and then traded him won back-to-back Super Bowls. So it's not impossible to win without Brandon Ayuk. But no, I think the 49ers are definitely at a crossroads, and it's an interesting time. I mean, these two decisions with Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk are basically going to determine how they're charting their future, which is super crazy to be talking about a few days away from the first preseason game. But that's the way it goes. But the good news is, without Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers merely have probably still the best roster in the NFL. So
yeah,
there's talent everywhere. I'm sure they'll make it work, but I don't know. This feels like a lot happening really fast. Part of me feels as though there's still a happy ending to the story. So we'll just have to see, but that's the drama of football.
Gosh, I hope you're right. That would really make things a lot easier for sure. All right. Well said. Look at you. You even found the silver lining in the midst of this otherwise not so happy episode. I'm proud of you. Great job. Yeah, that's good. I like it. It's the right tenor, I think. I think the overly solemn is maybe a little bit too much, but there we go. All right. Well, as always, thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Please continue to check out ninernoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. We're really deep into training camp and preseason getting ready to start, so there'll be a lot of overreactions and underreactions and all that kind of stuff coming out of the games and stuff. So be sure to keep up with that at ninernoise.com. And be sure to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And, of course, share it with all your fellow 49er fan friends. Till until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details. How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.